This episode is brought to you by Chumuck Society.
Oh God, one more podcast?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Desi Standard Time. I'm Maz Khan. I am feeling phenomenal. How about yourself, my fellow co-host, my fellow cohort, my... I don't know, the cheese on my cracker,
ooh,
I will say.
Ooh, not bad, not bad. Solid. I gave you a B plus, honestly, for those names. But I think you're getting better, and solid 88%. Thank you.
Thank you. I practice in front of the mirror every night.
Very good. But to answer your question, I'm doing good, man. You know, happy to be here, alive. I have a roof over my head. I have food on my plate.
Wow. What a good, it's a good life we're living over there, buddy.
We are,
necessities,
man.
All in check.
We are. You know, you gotta recognize it sometimes, right?
Right. I feel you. Well, I'm glad you're feeling good because, look, today, I think you know, we're talking about something extremely important, something that I've been wanting to talk about since we started this podcast. How do you feel? Are you feeling ready to talk about this very important topic?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think part of the importance of having a podcast and a platform is so we can, you know, talk about certain things that normally we wouldn't be able to talk about. And I think it's important that, yeah, this is discussed today. And yeah, I mean, I think we should get
You're
into
ready.
It. Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
You're ready. You're
yeah,
ready.
Absolutely.
I can feel it.
Yeah.
And you know, because we've been so blessed with this platform, it's time that we use it to do some good. And so today we're going to use this platform on our podcast, on Desi Standard Time, to bring you a real discussion about, that's right, Fast and Furious. And Dhoom in India, and really just any movie that should not be amazing. And yet, you go to the movie theater, you watch it with your friends, you go back home, and you smile a little bit, right? As you're going to bed, because you're just like, wow.
A lot.
Such a good movie.
Oh my God, no. A lot of things happen to you. Things happen to my body which normally are not supposed to happen. And no, it's important. I mean, this is something we got to talk about. You have to,
I know.
Your body can't help it.
I know. I think the biggest Oscar snub every year and the biggest IFA snub in India is that these movies don't win awards every single year. I mean,
for sure.
These are the backbone of our culture, these movies. I don't understand what people are missing.
No, I don't get it either. And I mean, this is it's a formula that has not only transcended Bollywood, but Hollywood and maybe other woods. Like, this is something is going on here that we need to examine. And we need to bring to the forefront to you people. And it's just important that we do this. That's all. That's all I got to say. I mean, God,
we're pumped. We're pumped.
You know what else is pumped? The Bowdies. The Bowdies in
Why did
these
I know where that was going?
Movies. Oh, I don't know.
I was like, he's going to go one of two ways. He's going to talk about how pumped the tires are or... The muscles. And clearly you went with the muscles. So tell me, if you had to name some characteristics that these movies have in common, give me some words that you would describe these movies as.
Oh my God. So these, I think, are in the context of Fast and the Furious as well as the Dhoom franchise, I think these things can be considered nouns, verbs, and adjectives. And not limited to just those, but maybe even a pronoun. So hair, yes. Muscles, yes. Veins. Yes.
Oh my God. So many.
Sweat. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Tans. Yes.
Beautiful.
Hot women. Right? Ridiculous.
Of course.
Ridiculous storylines and plot holes that honestly are never explained. And and characters and villains who are also never explained. Like,
it's amazing.
It's amazing. Incredible.
You just gave us a formula for a perfect movie.
Yes.
Now, before we go further, I just want to point out that in describing Dhoom 2, a movie, or Dhoom 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and whatever else, Bollywood movies, you described, one of the words you used was tans. I just want to point that out to our audience. Okay.
Uh-huh,
an Indian movie with tans. Okay.
Yes.
Anyways, so for those of
tans.
Our listeners who don't tans,
who
these
don't.
Guys are very these very tan guys. For those of our listeners who are not aware of what Dhoom is, I just want to share a story. So, I grew up in Georgia, and I went to a very kind of, for lack of a better word, not multicultural college, right? So the majority of the folks there were Caucasian. Right, that's probably the right word.
Right.
And my roommate was actually a Desi guy, but he grew up in Albany, Georgia, which is extremely, extremely, you know, not multicultural. And so he didn't have a lot of exposure to Bollywood and these kinds of things.
Mm.
Whatever the case may be, he went to Pakistan over one summer to visit family. And there he watched Dhoom 2. And this is the movie with Hrithik Roshan. For those of you who don't know what Dhoom is. It really is the Bollywood iteration of the Fast and Furious like franchises, right? Like this is literally the same, just Indian version.
Yes.
Way worse, maybe way better, who knows? And we're gonna get into that.
Or the Fast and Furious is the Hollywood iteration of the Dhoom franchises.
Ooh. Blew my mind a little bit there. Chicken or the egg right there.
That's
right?
What I do. Yeah. Okay.
So he goes to Pakistan, watches this movie, and comes back a fob. And I'm not even kidding. This is a guy who grew up basically on a farm. Comes back, and he's like, bro, do you know this guy, Kritika Roshan?
Oh, for the love of God.
Critical Roshan. Roshan. I was like, bro, Hrithik Roshan? He's like, yeah, I can't say it, but that dude is the man. And he basically went on like the craziest workout regimen I've ever seen. This guy was eating cottage cheese with peanut butter every night. Like, just, I mean, the dude got ripped. I'm not even going to lie to you. He did. And it was all because he watched Dhoom 2. And that was the first time I'd ever seen anyone like watch this movie and actually think like, wow, this is so badass. Like, it starts with him like skating on a train. Like, it's just, it's stupid to me. To me, I was just like, this is just, there's,
oh, no, I was wrong. No. You forget what led to Hrithik Roshan skating on a train. He just disguised himself, spoiler alert, as the Queen of England. You don't see too many broad-shouldered, the letter Y-shaped older women, white women with a British accent, who just happen to have their tiara and their crown jewel just chilling, hiding in a random room in a train, for which then Hrithik decides, hey, I know how to steal this. I will just completely disguise myself just like her. Yeah, given that she has the same shoulder width as me. Yeah, for sure. Let me go do this right now.
Hrithik Roshan, which is now the only thing I'm ever going to call him.
Yes.
Hrithik Roshan is 6'1", maybe 2, and like 200 and something pounds of just pure unadulterated muscle.
Yes.
Right? And no one thought that the Queen of England, who I'm reasonably sure is under 5'5",
yes,
was all of a sudden had grown like a foot. Like, it doesn't, just makes no sense.
I think that,
again, the bounds of reality are never really
explained. And it's just something you have to forego. Like, it's one of the rules of Dhoom, of Fast and Furious. Like, you are turning off the switch, the logic switch in your brain off. Enjoy. Don't ask questions. Right. Just let your body react the way it's going to react. In your boy's choice, in your friend's instance, he became a Greek god, right? I mean, he ended up looking like Hrithik or Hrithik Roshan by the end of it. So to say that
Hrithik Roshan. Our boy Critical.
Yes. Yeah. And the thing that also gets me so hyped up, anytime Hrithik will like come to the screen again, it'll just go. I think that is a soundbite that I would like to include in my every single day if I could do that.
Honestly, if I could be even like 10% of the character that he played in that movie, I would be the coolest person on the planet.
You for sure would.
So we're diving a little bit into it, guys. I know that we're being really serious. Just bear with us. But I think that there's some similarities between these two movies, and I think we're really going to dive into why these two movies or these types of franchises tend to appeal to a very wide audience, right? And I want to start with plot. And it's funny that I want to start with that because, to be honest, in these movies, there literally usually is not a plot. There's just a lot of conflicts, right? And it's basically, it follows like a very simple formula. It's like you solve one problem and like another problem just instantly appears.
Correct.
It's almost as if, I'm not sure if people have done the escape the room challenges, but that's what it's like. It's like you solve one puzzle and you get like a key, but then to use that key, you have to solve another puzzle. And that's essentially what these movies are. There's really no storyline. Like, it can be summarized in one sentence. They need to steal money. They need to save X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
They're saving a ruby or something like it's something so simple. But to save that ruby, they have to swim across the ocean,
yes.
jump over the St. Louis Arch,
of course.
Somehow find a hidden horse in like Poseidon stables,
duh.
Like perform the labors of Hercules,
uh-huh.
and then they get the ruby.
Yeah,
right.
And I have to mention another movie franchise within Bollywood that I believe was cut from the same cord as The Fast and the Furious, as well as Doom. I got to give them an honorable mention, but The Race oh. franchise. The story contains, it's the same thing as Doom, okay? The story contains maybe 48 plot twists. Each of the characters in this franchise, in order for you to execute about 48 plot twists, each character has to be maybe the smartest individual living in the earth times five, right? Because
right.
what happens is one group of people, they anticipate, you know, the actions of the other group, for which then, you know, that group decides to put a bomb in the other group's car, and which they of course knew that they were going to put a bomb in their car.
Of course.
They rewired that bomb and turned it into a hovering device. So now their car hovers and flies above them, for which then the other group was like, yeah, we knew they were going to, you know, do that with the bomb. So we actually added a device to our own car, which allows it to be turned to a submarine, and it goes on and on and on. Like, I remember the movie literally contained Akshay Khanna and Saif Ali Khan just going back and forth. Huh? Like, I'm going to do that. And Saif Ali Khan said, nee, yaar, like, I knew you were going to do that because me and Sanjana, we are very smart. So we saw that coming. Well, we knew you were going to do. And it goes back and forth and forth and forth.
There's so many plot twists in that movie. It really is like the greatest. Like, there's no better word for it. It's a mind fuck. And like the best analogy I can think of is like the Friends episode where everyone's starting to find out about Chandler and Monica. Spoiler. Actually, there's no spoiler alert. If you haven't seen it, I'm sorry. But like, everyone's finding out about it and they're playing games with each other, right? They're like,
yeah.
Oh, do they know that we know? But then do they know that we know that they know that we know?
Exactly.
And like, they just kept going and going. That's exactly what Race was. And you're so right. So Race. And there's movies like that in the U.S., right? Like but they're like made to be silly on purpose. And it's funny because in Bollywood, they're not being silly. They actually think this is like a legitimate possibility that someone could be so smart that they outsmart themselves, outsmarting a third person. Like,
exactly.
The layers are so dense. Mm-hmm. I can't even fathom it.
Everybody's doing Inception within their own brain. And the brain is not melting and malfunctioning and oozing out of your ears, because that's what would normally happen to any sane person. But no, these people have the brain capacity of they're all Stephen Hawking's as far as I'm concerned, and they're able to maneuver through, you know, these plot twists and these, you know, and still able to complete their mission at the end of the day. Somehow everybody wins. I don't remember.
That's the crazy thing.
That's the craziest part. I don't recall in the Doom franchises the villains, you know, even failing. And here's another element too that we like to eventually get into is the pairings, the on-screen pairings, the chemistry, right? Part of the reason and the allure that we are drawn to watching The Fast and Furious, whether it's Paul Walker, Michelle Rodriguez, Jordana Brewster, Vin Diesel, and then in the Doom case, maybe that was the first time we saw Hrithik and Aishwarya Rai, two of the most beautiful colored eyes, Neely Akin Wale actors in Bollywood come to the screen. So that was immediately a draw. That immediately caused everyone to sell out the theater. I mean, that was a draw. That's
right.
What people like came rushing to the theater for, yeah.
Both franchises definitely have the star power, right? They started, mm-hmm. I think the two pairings that you can always kind of point to, for The Fast and Furious, it's clearly Vin and Paul Walker, RIP. But for Doom, it's clearly, okay, like Abhishek, fine, like I'll give it to him, you know, he's like a normal human being. Uday Chopra, who is literally like,
oh, for God,
part of a band of a human, which literally means like no, Pati Chaddi. He's like literally underpants that have a hole in them is how useful he is.
Hey.
That's what he is as a person. But the pairing of them somehow worked, and it was a big driver in mm-hmm. in the Doom franchise, and yes. what people kind of kept coming back for. And there was a constant, right? And same with Fast and Furious. You had, sure, there was like the smaller pairings. You definitely have like the Ludacris and Tyrese pairing that kind of takes off in the later seasons. Right. And
don't forget the Rock.
You have the yeah. Rock just randomly yeah. just. Just falling in, and him and Hobbs then have their own spinoff
what
and all that.
What the hell? How do we get there? Think about it this. Okay, right. Listen, the Fast and the Furious started simple. It was in the height of street racing, that phenomenon that was going on where everybody was souping up their cars. It was big, right? So we had Paul Walker doing that. We had Vin Diesel. It started as a franchise about just street racing. Fast forward 19 years later. We wow, are somehow, really long, dude, wow, Hobbs and Shaw. Yeah. Fast forward 19 years later, we have The Rock and Jason Statham doing a traditional Tongan chant. And
the Haka.
They're doing the Haka. Yeah. Yeah. Which is honestly dope within its own right. But blowing up bazookas, flying their car from building through other building. And driving cars through the noses of airplanes. How do we get here? How are they saving the world? How did this happen?
I don't even know. But I love it. I love it. I mean, yes. These movies are so entertaining. So, okay. So we talked about the plot and how there really is not one, right? No matter yes. which one of these movies you choose, which franchises, one of the similarities that they have is that the plot just does not exist. It's just problem after problem, and they always solve it. There's no way that they don't solve it, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
The next thing, and you kind of touched upon it, is the characters, right? We have the pairings, and that's really what drives the movie. But then one thing that is lacking, so they definitely develop these relationships between the characters, and it does speak to us, and we do love it, right? We love these character pairings and like how they interact with one another. Mm-hmm. But one thing they do not do at all, they don't even bother to try, is character development.
Oh, no. There's not at all, yeah.
Right? We don't know why, like, Riddick wants to end the world. We don't know why he wants to steal everything. We don't know, like, there's no obtainable, like, end goal in sight for any of these guys.
Nope.
They just exist, right? They're like Bond villains, yeah. except worse. Like, Bond villains usually have, like, some justification, like, they're angry at the world, or yeah. they're Nazis, or like, there's something,
yeah.
right?
Here's what it reminds me of. What's it called when you have a board, like, an inspiration board? What's that proper terminology called?
Like a vision board?
Vision board, yeah. So think of it this way. They took a vision board, and they, on this vision board, they decided to put all in what in these people's minds is like the idea of cool. What makes someone cool? What makes someone badass, right? Right. They put all those, and then they're like, okay, now that everyone has contributed and said what they think is cool on this vision board, let's turn that into a character. That's what Hrithik was. He's got the hair. Right, they shot Doom 2 in Brazil. Okay, because it's in Brazil, make sure they're tan and they have highlights. That was literally their logic.
They're always sweating. He's like what's going on? Yeah, they're sweating.
And like a cool guy, he's watching Tom and Jerry for no reason while he's cooking. Perfect. And then this is their idea of cool. And my God, it was never explained why he just ended up being the perfect thief, as Abhishek says in. The Doom 2 trailer, which, by the way, the Doom 2 trailer itself
amazing.
Deserves an Oscar /
Slow clap,
yes. A Soul Train Award, and arguably the Nobel Peace Prize. I think every vice that is known on this...
Move over, Malala.
on God's earth.
There's more important people here.
Every pleasure, every worldly pleasure, every vice that is known to this world... is emitted in this Doom 2 trailer. In that sheer 2 minutes, you will walk away with a hard-on, you will walk away pregnant, you will walk away sweating. Everything is going to happen to you. I'm sorry, but it is something that I just cannot believe.
That escalated very quickly. I think we need to go ahead and take a little breather, buddy. I think you're a little too excited.
I just popped a blood vessel, but time for a break. We are going to leave you... with this week's South Asian Spotlight, where we showcase a South Asian-owned business or startup in the United States. Game's not over.
We'll be back.
This week's South Asian Spotlight is with Alina Sheikh, founder of Chumuk Society.
We all know every Desi parent dreams of the day their kid becomes a doctor, or at least something close. Our guest today fulfilled her parents' fantasy, at least during the day. Alina, welcome to the studio. You're a healthcare consultant by day, but an up-and-coming fashion designer by night. Do tell me more.
Hey, Moz. That's right. So a lot of kids enjoy their summer free time, but my family went back to Pakistan every summer growing up. Not just for a quick visit, but for the whole 2 months.
That sounds incredibly boring. I mean, what did you even do for that long as a kid? I mean, you probably weren't even allowed to venture out alone?
Nope. I started picking up sewing and embroidery from my nani.
Ah, so that's how it started.
Yeah, I got really into it. I just pick up threads and beads and whatever materials I could find and started sewing pillows and bags and handkerchiefs. You name it. Even during school and work in New York, I took fashion classes during all my free time. It was intense, but it was my passion.
That's really admirable. And now you've finally blended the two worlds and blessed us with your own line, Jumuk Society. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, Jumuk Society is the representation of both my homes, which are equally a part of me. Pakistani fabric and textiles with New York City streetwear blended together. Our first product is a street hoodie with desi gold embroidery and stonework filling the arms like a tattoo sleeve.
I've always wanted a tattoo sleeve, and I love those hoodies. Can I get one, or...?
Hell yes. Our products are gender neutral. There's no divide, just dope pieces celebrating the kind of materials, embroidery, and artisanship that I saw growing up. I want to keep that alive and rebrand what made in Pakistan means.
For sure. That label is way too often associated with cheap labor.
Yeah, well, Jumuk Society is here to change that.
Amazing. Well then, it's time for me to cop my hoodie. If you also want to experience the best of East meets West, head on over to JumukSociety.com and start shopping now.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Had to take a little breather there. Got a little hot and bothered talking about our favorite boys, Critical Roshan,
yes,
and the Doom franchise, and just how far it's really taken us in Indian cinema.
Yes.
And really, you know, comparing that to the only true comparison, which is the Fast and Furious franchise on the American side, and just how amazing and epic both these franchises are for not only their fan bases, but for humanity, I think.
Right.
How important they are just for our world.
They're an institution, yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so far, you know, we've covered the really engaging and complex plots that these movies put together by literally probably a one-page script that just says action, action, action all the way down. And then we've talked about the character development, which I believe a deaf and blind person, Helen Keller might have written these characters. They don't exist.
Oh my God. Yes, okay. Yes. But yeah, let's get into action though. I mean, Maz, MK, my man.
Mm-hmm,
what are some of the memorable action scenes that you can recall from the Doom franchise as well as the Fast and Furious franchise? What comes to mind? Let's start spitballing.
You know, honestly, it's been a while since I've seen these movies, but the thing that stuck out for me in the first movie in Doom. Now, okay. Let me just preface this by saying I think Fast Five is actually a great movie. Like, I think that it's up there with one of the better, like, heist movies. It's well thought out. It actually is complex. Like, you can tell that was a movie. People actually put in some effort. Helen Keller took a break. Someone actually came in and wrote, like, phenomenal script and everything. Okay? So, that being said, the rest of these movies, the action is hilarious.
Yes.
Right? It's almost like watching a parody instead of an actual movie, but they're like, serious. Like, Vin Diesel has never smiled once in any movie.
Mm-hmm.
Abhishek tries to be like Vin, but just, you know, kind of like a loose pajama version.
He's just an angry, bitter man that just is so annoyed by Ali, a.k.a. Uday Chopra, who I've met, actually, at Disneyland. Have I told the story? I don't know if I've told the story on this podcast.
I don't believe you have.
Okay, basically, at Disneyland, one year, we run into Uday Chopra, and one of my friends, who are equally as passionate about Bollywood as we are, I dare I say, noticed him from afar. I turn around and I see him just hyperventilating, standing in front of this like 5'6" brown guy. I'm like, who the hell is he hyperventilating? Is this someone that we know? And this other, that was Wakas. And then my other buddy, Tahrim, I see sprinting. I've never seen him run this fast before in my life. And apparently what happened is Wakas goes up to him and he introduces himself to Uday Chopra going, Dosti korege to nibani to parengi. Nice to meet you, Uday Chopra, right? He's quoting a line from Meri Yaar Ki Shaadi Hai. And then after that, Tahrim, 2 minutes later, comes up to Uday, says, Dosti korege to nibani to parengi. Like, says the exact same thing. So in Uday Chopra's mind, he's like, wow, I have a huge following in the United States. I am awesome. I don't recall this man saying one word to us. He was just smiling, had this bulging vein popping out of his forehead, had his arms crossed. We took two pictures with him. We're all in different poses except him. He remained, kept the same pose, did not say one word, and then he freaking just walked off. But we were ecstatic. That's my story with Uday Chopra.
It's amazing. You guys fanboyed the most boring Bollywood actor of all time. That's
incredible. I cannot believe it. We gave this guy the ego. It's the reason why he has a Doom freaking franchise. Other than the fact that his dad did it too.
Yeah,
but no other than that, yeah. But excuse me to please.
I really thought that story was going to be like, oh my God, we saw Goofy at Disney World, and when he took off his mask, lo and behold, it was Uday Chopra inside.
That might have made more sense, yeah.
That's the amount of acting chops that this guy possesses. Mm-hmm. But okay, all things considered, the first Doom, I really remember the bike chase scene, like the motorcycle scene. Right, that seems to be like the thing that sticks out to me. Doom 2, I'm never gonna get past the first, just him being like the Queen of England.
Oh my god!
And
gosh.
Then escaping on a skate on like a, not even a skateboard. Like what do you call it? Like a dune board? Like
yeah. And he just holds on to the train while people are shooting like bazookas, machine guns, shotguns. A spray,
missing him,
yeah. And he's just looking as cool as ever, just riding along the side of a train. It's incredible. It's incredible.
It truly is. What about you? I mean, so that's, honestly, Doom, there's not a lot of memorable action scenes. There's a lot of forgettable action scenes. Fast and Furious, I could go on and on and on. I mean, the dude drove a car through one building into another.
These guys.
My favorite is when they're trying to prevent a plane from taking off and they fire harpoons into the
wings. That is the best. And then when they're frightened and parishan of where the hell Vin is, Vin, lo and behold, comes crashing out of the classic black Charger that he has, or GTO rather. It was the GTO, I think. The black GTO through the nose of the airplane lands, come out unscathed. No scratches on him, totally fine. And that was the climax of the movie. There's so many scenes. I think one scene, and it's funny we keep referring to Doom 2, because Doom 2, I think, in my opinion, is the most ridiculous. I think Doom 3 with Amir Khan, because they understood that they have Amir Khan, I think they try to center hit around him too much. Then Amir Khan had like a weird twin, which Amir Khan's acting kind of pisses me off sometimes. And I know that's a very unpopular opinion, but he has this face that he makes, and it's showcased with his twin in Doom 3. That's like this like kind of weird like twin, and he's just like constantly like raising his eyebrows, has this like kind of like Chalak look on his face. And I feel like he kind of did the same thing in PK, and I feel like it's just, I don't know, it's like, come on, Amir, like change up the face a little bit. But in my opinion, I just thought the movie was too Amir-centric, and it was boring, honestly. And I understand what that means. And when a Doom franchise, I'm saying, is bad, like the story is bad, you know it's bad. Because I watched Doom 2, and I think Doom 2, aka Jonathan Ferdos, I think is a exceptional movie. So you know that I really mean it, but whew, okay. But
you good? You all right there?
I'm all right. But to answer your question, I can't get over the fact that in Doom 2, Hrithik blends himself in with other statues. He paints himself white.
Oh yeah, the museum scene, right?
The museum scene. He paints himself white, where he opens his bloodshot eyes because they're covered in, I'm sure paint got in his eyes, so his eyes are bloodshot. So it's already apparent that he's there, and there's a bloodshot-eyed statue staring right back at you as you're looking at this giant diamond that is just floating in the middle of nowhere, or in the middle of the display. And then he's controlling a little robotic car inside the traces of the floor design, for which then it's like, okay, it's slick, okay, this might be believable, no one's looking. But then he's so cautious the entire time that finally, in order to grab the diamond, a giant claw comes out of the little car, grabs the diamond, and takes off, and he somehow gets away with it all. And then he disguises himself as an old man. You can't, he's untouchable.
It's incredible. You know, and the crazy thing is, I love the villains in these movies. I'm almost rooting for them. Like, okay, you love to hate the villains in Fast and Furious movies, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you always want them to just, like, fail miserably. You're always rooting for Vin. You're always rooting for Paul. Like, it's going down.
And The Rock. The Rock as well. You're rooting for him. And you eventually root for Hobbs. Yeah.
Right. And here we are in the Bollywood iteration, and you're just like, just die, Abhishek. It's fine, dude. You suck. Like, you're boring. You're just like ACB Dixit. Like, no one cares about you. It's fine. Just fail, dude. It's fine. If I had to choose between John Rampal, Critical Roshan, Amir Khan, and Abhishek Chopra? Or sorry, Abhishek and Uday?
Yeah.
Chopra? Abhishek I'm calling that tandem Abhishek Chopra.
Okay.
I'm choosing all the first three. I'm choosing Critical Roshan. I'm choosing Amir Khan. I'm choosing Arjun Rampal. I'm choosing anyone but those two. Just, they really are just buffoons. They're buffoons. And so,
yes.
It's crazy. Okay. So I really want to bring this episode around. We've really just been talking about how crazy these movies are. Why do we like these movies? Right? What is it about these movies? And this transcends Bollywood. But okay, so this podcast really is about how South Asian media has affected us, both growing up, presently, and looking forward into the future.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We brought this topic up mainly because we were like, it's crazy that we could have something so blatantly terrible, but so blatantly amazing at the same time. And we wanted to understand this phenomenon because clearly this phenomenon does not exist in one particular language or industry. It transcends it, right? So
yes.
Mazi, my precious Mazi, what is it? What did you love about these movies so much that really just speaks to us? And is it because are we weird? Are we dumb? Are we crazy? Like, what is it about these movies that's so great?
You know, I gotta say, you know, sometimes those images or those posters that you just, if you look at it at one angle, it's going to be one picture. And then if you look at it at another angle, it's going to be another picture. It's kind of like an illusion.
Right.
I think that's what these movies are. They're so bad, but they're so good. And it's really just however you want to take it. I think at the end of the day, why do you even do that? Because you're curious and it's just fun, right? Like, well, in all honesty, I mean, at the end of the day,
it's definitely that.
you're having a hard week. You know that, and I alluded to this earlier. I was mentioning that you just turn off the logic switch in your brain. Sometimes, you know, you watch a movie to think, right? There's those Christopher Nolan movies. There's Sanjay Leela Bhansali movies. There is a lot of movies that you just watch to because, yeah, it's going to make you think a little bit and you want to enjoy it and just really enjoy cinema, right? Whereas this, it's like, okay, dude, I just want to let loose. Give me the hot women. Give me the tan ripped bodies. Give me the great songs. Give me the crazy visuals. Give me the action. Give me this simple storyline that's just fun. And I deserve this. I've had a hard week. I want to just watch this. And I mean, even the actors themselves. I mean, The Rock. Like, The Rock in many, many interviews where he's doing promotions for The Fast and the Furious or Doom 2 or whatever the hell he was in. But anytime he's like doing promotions for the movie, you know, he's like, oh yeah, here's the scene from the movie. This is my favorite part, where he will say an incredibly cheesy line where he brings out a bazooka and he looks at literally at the villain or the screen and goes, daddy's got to go to work. And starts.
No. Don't confuse it. Okay. That was where he was in the hospital. He had a cast on his arm, and his daughter's like, daddy, you can't go out there. And he's like, daddy's got to go to work.
Yes.
And he flexes out of a cast.
Yes.
He flexes out of a cast. Then he shows up, and Letty is like, wait, I thought you were bringing the cavalry. Where's the cavalry? And he's like, woman, I am the cavalry.
Yes.
And he pulls out the machine gun and uses it on
that's
the chopper.
That's what it was.
Just
thank you.
Goes to town.
Thank you. This is why I have you. Movies. This is why I have you in my life. So you can make these. You are a nice living autocorrect, my friend. Thank you. But yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, the point we're getting at is, I mean, The Rock does it because it's just fun. Yeah, it's a great franchise, and it's going to be a success. And people line up because they don't care. I mean, people want to watch that at the end of the day. People are watching Bollywood movies and especially the Doom franchise for that reason. It's fun. It's action-packed. They don't care. I mean, that's what cinema should be. It should fill in that fix as well, where you just let loose and I'm just gonna enjoy myself. Let's have fun. I mean, I think that's the simple answer.
I agree. You know, and I think it's important to note that there are movies, both Indian and both Bollywood and Hollywood, that follow the same kind of mold, but yet really do a really good job. Like Mission Impossible is probably one of the great franchises as far as action is concerned. Jason Bourne, newer James Bond. And these are movies that follow a similar kind of, Mission Impossible especially, like follows that same formula of one problem after another. But it does it with much better character development. It does it with much more linear kind of storytelling. And, you know, the stunts are a little bit better and more believable. I really do believe that Tom Cruise can do pretty much anything at this point. Because the man pretty much has. I mean, right. The guy literally was hanging onto an airplane for dear life in real life to shoot that for a movie. But to more to your point, I think you're right. I think that people love to escape their real lives through the art of film. And I think that what these guys have done, both in the Doom franchises, in Race, in other, you know, stupid movies, essentially, is they've recognized that, look, people are cool with turning off their brains and really just enjoying spectacles, mm-hmm. right? It's almost just a spectacle, and that's what they've delivered to us, and they do it better than pretty much any other kind of, you know, if that's what their motive is to just be like, hey, we're gonna distract you for 3 hours. They do it better than anybody else. So absolutely. Thank you. Thank you to these guys for giving us, look, if you're listening to this podcast and you don't know what the hell we're talking about, we would talk about for the last half hour, please do yourself a favor. Go to your YouTube app or, you know, on your computer, go to YouTube.
Just go to YouTube.
Type in. Sorry. Wow. I sound like an old person. Go to the YouTube.
Go to the tube and enjoy.
Go to the tube of you and type in. You're going to type in D-H-O-O-M as in Mary 2. Intro dance or whatever. And you're going to watch Critical Roshan give you the best. That's how you know it's the right video when you hear that.
Yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to watch the best dance you're ever going to see on screen for an indie thing.
Yes. Aishwarya Rai's character, a special shout out. There are some hilarious dynamics too, by the way. Doom 2, I think itself, is such a spectacle. Like, shout out to John Abraham, shout out to Amar Khan, shout out to that song in Doom 1 and Ishadil. But
Ishadil.
Oh my god. Bipasha is a guest at Abhishek's house where his wife from the first Doom is sitting there. She's pregnant, she's cooking food, and Bipasha has the audacity to tell his wife, ooh, your husband is too sexy. Like that's a weird compliment to give for one.
Amazing.
It's a weird compliment. Amazing. And then she didn't have anything to wear to the party, which led to the touch me, come touch me, don't touch me, oh Sonia. And he just said, here, you can wear my wife's dress. Don't worry, she's pregnant. She's not going to wear this anytime soon. Put this orange dress on and we'll have a risque dance number with other scantily clad individuals there. Aishwarya's character, funny guy who said that a bajillion times. I just have to give a shout out to these people and these characters. And
people are listening right now and are just like, is Maz Ali having a seizure, or is this seriously things that happen in this movie? And I'm here to tell you, these are things that actually happen in the movie.
Yes, I'm headed to the ER right after this.
we're gonna leave you with these thoughts. Look, these movies really are an escape, and they do it better than any other movie. And I think it's really just interesting to see. We talk a lot about how Hollywood and Bollywood differ. It's great to see a genre. It's great to see a genre or type of movie that exists in both and really transcends culture and language and basically all the things that we think that we associate with one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to see that people in India are just as mindless and want to see as much crazy action that's unbelievable and no character development and no plot lines as people here in the U.S. So.
Exactly. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, we're all the same. We're all people. We just want those simple things. And I think it's a beautiful thing. And my God.
Brought that together like a Full House episode.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Yes. Thank you for your Danny Tanner, for our Danny Tanner moment. My God, I have asthma. Okay. after just recording this. Wow. Okay. But yeah, man, thanks again, guys, for listening to this episode. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed that one. But thank you again for your continued support. Like, subscribe, comment, DM us. Let us know your thoughts. Tell us about your most favorite and memorable iconic moments from the Fast and Furious franchise, as well as the Doom. And hell, even the Race franchise. And yeah, hope you guys enjoyed.
Yep, we'll take it all. All right, guys, thanks a lot for listening. And we'll be back soon with another episode. Bye.
Machane.